Have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. I'm not going to read the first nine chapters, just the first nine verses. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. During these days between Easter and Pentecost, I'm thinking especially of the challenge of the deeper life, entire sanctification, spirit-filled life, and I like to begin with Joshua today. The death of Moses was a great trauma for Israel, a nation in the making. This great man whose name was synonymous with deliverance, this man who spoke face to face with God, who delivered the Ten Commandments, he was a one-man national resource, and he was full of vigor and strength one day, and the next day he was gone. And it was a trauma, personal trauma for Joshua as well. Joshua had been a loyal follower. He'd learned to take orders and to execute them faithfully. But now the authority lines were forever changed. Things could never be the same again. And for the nation and for Joshua personally, the future loomed uncertain and threatening. And it was in this time of fearful transition that God spoke to Joshua. God spoke words that challenged Joshua to, in the words of the Bible here, prosperity and success. Although they were success and prosperity on God's definition and God's term, God spoke words that repeatedly called for both courage and strength. And these words of God are important because they are words for us. The Joshua challenge comes to us all. God said, Moses is dead. Joshua had to face the hard facts. It was an end of an era in his life, the life of the people. In a sense, it was an end of restrictions and having to obey. And yet it was also an end of the security of letting the final responsibility rest with Moses. Moses was dead. Moses had shown to Joshua and to all Israel the power and the grace and the salvation of God. Moses had obeyed God. He'd marched into Egypt with a staff and a stutter and a brother that could speak better than he could. And he had marched out of Egypt with perhaps a million ragged slaves. He had instituted the Passover. He had, by the power of God, parted the Red Sea. For 40 years, he had been the symbol of God's authority. Moses' very life speaks even today of God's grace and power in deliverance, in being saved from. And just about every one of us here this morning have had some kind of Moses-type influence in our lives. We've had authority that has taught us of God's love and God's justice. We've learned about the blood of the everlasting covenant, and we've learned about deliverance from sin. And healthy leadership has shown us the way for most of us to find God's forgiveness from sin and a place in the family of God. But as was the case with Joshua and his nation, for us, there's a limit to leadership in the human. Moses was dead. Now came a new challenge. God's plan for Joshua and for this nation was not just that they would be delivered from Egypt, but that they should be saved to the land of promise. From the very beginning, God had a destination as well as a destiny in mind for his people. The 40 years of wandering in the wilderness hadn't been God's first choice, you know. But Moses led them. Finally, Moses went to Pisgah, the mountain, and viewed the promised land from a distance, and then he died. And then came these words: God called Joshua to leave the wilderness, cross the Jordan into new and challenging territory. And God said, Moses is dead, now therefore arise, cross this Jordan. We need to see that as wonderful as it is to be saved from sin and to be delivered from bondage and habits and cleaned up, it's always God's plan that we are not just saved from, but we are saved to fulfillment and saved to real abundant living. Joshua is hearing God call him to go beyond the bounds of what Moses had been able to do. It might have seemed almost sacrilegious for Joshua to think, here I am, who am I, the great Moses, the great one who talked face to face with God, wanted to do this. God said, this is as far as Moses can go, but now I want you to break the mold and to go beyond the models and to go into new territory. I believe every generation ought to respect and appreciate the work and achievement of previous generations. But every generation is called upon to break molds and exceed models, even of good and godly parents and teachers, fathers and mothers. And in a sense, we need to stand on the shoulders of all that's good and that has gone on before. And the challenge to new conquest was there. With it came powerful encouragement. God said, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I have already given it to you, and no man will be able to stand before you. God was saying, if you will accept the challenge of my direct leadership within the parameters of the promised land, your success and your prosperity will only be limited by the quality of your ambition and your initiative. You can conquer as you will. This is one of the Bible's mighty promises. Every place that the sole of your foot treads, I'll give it to you. It's like the words of Jesus when he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. These are words of challenge to live by faith in the integrity of God's ability to keep his word. Yet we need to see that there are limits. Walter Brueggemann, in his book, Study of Genesis, suggests that one of the key questions of the book of Genesis, and perhaps one of the key questions of faith, is found Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for God? This challenge to take new territory, to set out for new horizons, is a part of every passage or every transition period in every Christian's life. And God's promise comes through, I will do as you ask. I will set before you unlimited potential. And yet there are two distinct dangers in responding to God's challenge and promise in times of transition. The one danger is to oversimplify and over-identify our will with God's. Brueggemann suggests that nothing is impossible with God can be translated by over-eager believers to mean everything I desire is possible. Brueggemann goes on, faith does not make every desirable thing possible. Not everything is promised. What is possible is characterized as everything promised by God. That is, only what corresponds to God's good purposes is possible. He has promised a future in a new community, but not everything we would seek. Don't ever forget that when Jesus prayed in the garden, he said to his Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he ended that prayer with the spirit and attitude that we all must have every time we pray. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's a danger in oversimplifying. And I believe far more people err along this line than do to set out and shoot too high. We can't all become the president. We can't all become successful in the eyes of the world. Not that we should. But God has for each of us greatness and promise and success and prosperity in his definition, which is the real definition. God calls each of us to a life of real meaning. It's God's will that every believer shall have his or her share in a promised land of abundant living here and now. If that was an amen, I'll take it. And by the way, I don't mind the baby's voices in the congregation from time to time. We're a family, and it's great that they're here. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying on both sides, God gives us this great unlimited promise within the parameters of his will. And if we're careful to stay close to him, there's no limit to what God wants to do with you. I don't think we really grasp that. You don't have to have an IQ of 185 to be used of God. You don't have to be perfect in every or any aspect of your personality. If you can hear the Joshua challenge to God, rise up, cross over the Jordan. Don't just let the great people of the last generation set the parameters for your life. But rather, if you've got the courage, follow me, and I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. There are some clear warnings and conditions that went along with God's call to salvation to life. God said, his words, "Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Moses is dead. You don't have to mind him anymore. The restrictions are lifted. But God is still saying, along with his encouragement and promise, remember to obey. At first reading, this word from God seems to say, keep the rules. Nobody likes rules. Who makes the rules anyway? I just got my new 85 manual this morning. But what Joshua is hearing is not keep the rules, but rather he is hearing submit to God's divine authority. God is saying, live carefully before me. Live to please me. Moses wasn't the author of the Ten Commandments. God is saying, Moses was just my messenger. I am the author of the Ten Commandments. It's funny, it's almost a predictable syndrome in any transition or passage time of life. When all restraints are lifted, newfound freedom is strained, if not abused. I'm sure it's never happened to you. But it has been known that some freshman students, first experiencing the freedom of life away from home, with no one to tell them to go to bed or to study or to brush their teeth, they've sometimes neglected to do these things. And perhaps some other things that are considered normal too. I'm afraid I have to plead guilty as a freshman student. It never happened to you perhaps, but it has been known to happen that when people are promoted or they move far away from familiar surroundings and away from the usual restraints and expectations of familiar faces, they've sometimes changed and relaxed certain standards of conduct they never thought they would, all in the name of newfound liberty and freedom. What Joshua was hearing from God was not God's concern that Joshua keep some sort of a status quo of man-made rules. But Joshua was hearing God's clear warning, make certain that you understand divine lines of authority. Submission to divine authority is at the very heart of whether or not a person will ever be worth anything to the kingdom of God. If I don't say anything else this morning, I'm going to say that again. Submission to divine authority is at the very heart of whether or not a person will ever be worth anything to the kingdom of God. Unless we learn who the boss is. So many of us are so interested in kicking up our feet and proving that we don't have to mind anybody, that we fail to see the fundamental question of faith is, will we have him, God Almighty, to rule over us? Will we let his word change our life, even to the point of changing our lifestyle? A believer is a person who believes God enough to obey him. A Christian is a person who owns Jesus Christ not only as his Savior, but as his Lord. But then we discover that God's good authority over our lives doesn't merely permit growth and let us aggressively take new territory in every phase of our lives, but God's authority over our lives commands growth. To be under God's divine authority is not restricting or galling. But as we obey, we come to say with Jesus, the beloved Son, as he quotes from the 40th Psalm, "I delight to do thy will, O God." I think one of the Psalms are the textbooks. I know that we learn to sing them and then we learn to appreciate the word. But I love Psalm 19 where David says, the authority of God, which he calls the law or the precepts, the testimonies, the commandments, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of God. He says they're desirable. They're sweet. They're good for warning, but they're also certain to bring great reward. And he says, in keeping of them, these laws that are perfect and right and clean and righteous, in keeping of them, God brings great reward into our hearts. He says that keeping God's authority faithfully restores, makes wise the simple, enlightens the obedient one. No wonder God urges Joshua to stay close to him in this transition time, to live carefully before his God. But not only obedience is needed. God says three times, and the people must have heard because they echo it a fourth time in this chapter, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. I don't know what you read into this when you read this challenge to Joshua, but one thing seems clear to me. Going into new territory is going to be a battleground that requires all the courage I can muster. It's not going to be a ride through Disney World where the crocodiles come running out at you, but you know they're rubber crocodiles. And those are cheap thrills because you may get scared a little bit if you let yourself get caught away, but you know that you can't really get bit. It's not that way in the battleground of taking new territory for God. Following God, even though he assures us of victory, demands courage. You read these next few pages in Joshua. Simply believing God demands all the courage we have. There are battles to be fought, but sometimes we have to lay aside conventional thinking and even conventional weapons and listen carefully for God's instructions. That first battle of Jericho, rather strange thing, wasn't it? God said, don't talk, just march around the walls. Right, Lord? He had learned his lesson here. And so he did as God said and got up every day in the morning. And for 7 days marched around Jericho. And the seventh day they got up extra early and marched around six times. And then the seventh time they blew their trumpets and the walls fell down flat before them. Took courage for Joshua to tell the people, let's march around. The people were saying, what are you talking about? Let's get our shovels and start digging trenches and get ready. This is going to be some kind of battle. Joshua said, you do what I tell you. Do what the Lord tells us. Takes courage. Takes courage to face the enemy. Times it takes even more courage to live to please God when our fellow believers think we ought to be doing more, we ought to be doing less. Be strong. Be courageous. But to me, the climax and the keynote of God's challenge to Joshua was not in the promise alone of new territory. It wasn't in the conditions of that promise or in the challenge to keep the laws. But the thing that warms my heart is God said to Joshua, Moses is gone, but I'm still alive. And I am with you, and I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or forsake you. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here we are back again at that familiar theme of what faith is all about. Faith and obedience spring out of relationship, not just an experience of emotion, not just pure doctrine, not just the faith of our fathers, but real challenging faith means a person-to-person, day-by-day give and take of walking together with God. God is saying to Joshua, yes, you used to know I was with you while Moses was alive, but you weren't always sure whether it was your faith that was taking hold or it was Moses' faith. You had some great services while Moses was leading. But I want you to know that I'm not just the God of Moses. I'm your God too. You were impressed that I spoke face to face with Moses. But you know, I want to speak face to face with you too. You were impressed that Moses could walk up to a body of water and in obedience to me, speak to the water and it would part. There's a muddy Jordan overflowing its banks right here. And if you got the courage to believe, you're going to do the same thing. Only Moses was taking people out of bondage. You're taking people in to rest. Praise the Lord. It's significant that Joshua's name is Yeshua. Old Testament's the same name as Jesus. It took both Moses and Joshua together to be a symbol and sign complete. And even then, it's not really complete of what Jesus Christ really is. Praise the Lord. He says, if you've got the courage to step out by faith and obedience and walk with me, you're going to see things you've never seen before. You're not going to be able to look up in your book and see what's the precedent for this. What happened here? Did you hear about the great revival of 27? It's going to be new territory, new ground. And I like Joshua's response. As soon as God got through the challenge, he said, okay, folks, let's get together. I don't know how long it takes to pack up a big camp, but he says in 3 days we're going over the Jordan. Let's go. Let's mind God. Let's do God's whole will now. He hadn't seen a burning bush yet. He hadn't seen any great miracles yet. But I want to tell you, they came. He even had a meeting with the captain of the Lord's host, where God spoke to him and said to Joshua, take your shoes from off your feet. Just as it happened to Moses, not just as it happened, different and yet the same, at the burning bush where God spoke to Moses and said, take your shoes from off your feet. You're on holy ground. And here it was happening to Joshua, not in a burning bush, but in his own personal experience with God. Perhaps the very best thing of all about this Joshua challenge, at least for us today, is it's our challenge too. If we've been saved from, we can be certain that it's God's will that we be saved too. God's not just interested in getting you out of sin and away from the wages of sin. God is vitally concerned that we take new territory for him every year that we live. I thank God for Moses and my Moseses. When I was a student at this college, the stature of those people that taught me, still, it's awesome to me. And it just staggers my mind to think that God is challenging me to go beyond. I can't, in one sense, ever go beyond the piety and the wonder of those dear people. It is sacrilegious for me to have God say, Bertha Monroe, my servant, is dead. But now rise up and go beyond where she was. That sounds sacrilegious to a lot of you, doesn't it? But it's the same idea, don't you see? God is saying to you, there's territory for you that you have to take that's beyond. And I thank God for my Moseses and my Bertha Monroes. But if we really believe God is with us as he was with Moses, then God is challenging me and challenging you to take new ground for our own promised land. Where do you suppose God is leading you? Where do you suppose does God want our church to take new ground? What new corners does God want us to turn that we've never been there before, we've never seen them? I just wonder, do we have the faith and the courage to simply say to God, you lead on? Down inside, we feel terrified, Lord, but we hear what you're saying, and we say, you lead on. Let's pack up. 3 days, we cross the Jordan. Father, we thank you for the challenge to a deeper and a higher walk with you. We pray that as you were with Joshua, so you will be with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.